Welcome to the Disruption Podcast with Keegan Sard. A podcast all about the disruption in our lives, how to move with the times, and how it has only just begun.
Can I actually transform my Industrial Revolution company and compete with one of these startups or platform companies? Or do I have to start over?
Get ahead of the curve and learn about new and emerging technologies that are shaping the world of tomorrow.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to episode 2 of the Disruption Podcast. It's great to be back, and as I previously mentioned in last week's update, thanks for bearing with me as I bed down what the podcast is and where we're going. With that in mind, I'll be making more podcasts more frequently, and not just covering disruptive industry changes as I see them, but also great projects and tools I find along the way. This episode is all about living arrangements, from sharing with housemates you hated and getting your own place to the nomadic and co-living movements that are really taking off around the world. I'll also give an honourable mention to the rise of the sharing economy, couch surfing, smaller boutique offerings, and even some new concepts challenging the status quo, filling the void, and supporting the picky millennial sector. We have all rented at some time in our lives. We've found housemates we've loved and later hated. We've saved for deposit bonds, and we've all fought over additional bills for gas, energy, and the internet. But the rental landscape hasn't changed, and the problems of the past are still a constant for many, with dramatic flow-on effects to our communities and our economy. For example, deposit bonds trap women in dangerous domestic violence situations and leave students and people on lower incomes stuck with bad housemates and even worse landlords because they simply can't afford the capital to put to a new deposit bond before waiting for the old one to be returned. However, it's refreshing to see movement in an industry slower than transportation for the better. So before I get in to really understand where this whole sector is going, I want to go through some of the main players. These are the players that are emerging amongst the dead wood. For me, what has really caught my eye recently is the co-living movement, which is part of the sharing economy. Companies like Roam, The Collective, and We Live, which is a division of WeWork, have set an ambitious goal to change the way we work, live, and play, with quality studio rooms with en-suites, access to shared facilities and commercial kitchens, co-working spaces and meeting areas, all for a monthly fee that includes everything, electricity, gas, water, the internet, everything an inner-city hipster or millennial could dream about. Roam in particular has 6 properties around the world to choose from, which gives the rise to the nomads that are location independent and those seeking a community abroad, whether it's for a week, a month, or even a year. The Collective is doing exactly the same thing, but in London. They have properties from very central in Notting Hill all the way through to Acton, and then they have this amazing co-living, co-work space at Old Oak, and it's incredible. It's about the sense of community. They really want you to feel like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. And I think they've got the model right. They're trying to build a world that's more alive, more together, more collaborative than just bricks and mortar. And that's a good thing. You know, like when people are together, they meet new people, they try new things, they learn something new every single day. And especially if you're an entrepreneur or a digital nomad, that you're going to find times when you aren't together and you are alone and you're going through the emotions of trying to run something that was built from nothing. Now, I'm not talking about a small business. I'm talking about an early stage startup where everything's going wrong. You're trying to break into a new market. It's great to have people that are trying to make every day extraordinary and trying to help you along the way. And the last example in this space has to be the guys at WeWork. These guys are the ones that have flipped co-working on its head. They're in every city imaginable all around the world. And their concept's called We Live. And they are challenging traditional apartment living like they did with offices to foster meaningful relationships, but also put into perspective things that we've always put into perspective but never done anything about. Why is it that we constantly pay 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, if not 70% of our incomes to renting? It's absurd, because really all we need is a bed. And if you've got good people around you and things to sort of sacrifice over the cramped living spaces or the housemates we loved and, as I said before, don't really like now, why is it we're actually spending all this money on just a place to live? So they've created these flexible options designed to meet the needs of moving in for a month or staying a few nights, all for a set monthly fee or a per night option. The next, of course, is Airbnb and Couchsurfer, which are providing an alternative to motels and hotels around the world, keeping the industry honest and helping people making a little more out of their spare rooms. It was actually 10 years ago this week that Airbnb and Brian Chesky came up with this idea, which totally outdone himself, beating the industry and governments all along the way. This is what hustle and determination is all about, creating election cereal packets to stay alive, using baseball card folders for maxed out credit cards, and comments from VCs like, you would have to be crazy to trust a stranger with a key to your place. You can certainly see how hard it is to change slow-moving industries like this one. But now the industry is attempting to adapt with smaller hotels, better connectivity between occupants, faster Wi-Fi, and of course cheaper prices, which we've both seen from Marriott's Aloft Hotels and Hilton's new play. We're also seeing a rise in the build-to-rent market, because developers are jumping on this as well. We're seeing it in Hong Kong, London, New York, and now even Sydney, where developers are saying, I'm going to build this building, get better yields, offer cars or utilities, cheaper rents, and when the market improves, then I will sell the properties in 10 or 15 years down the track. I also think it's worth mentioning two other plays that are not necessarily living-associated startups, but are innovators in their own right. The first is Cabin. It's a boutique offering that is gaining traction between San Francisco and LA. Cabin is the same price as an airplane ticket, but instead of a cramped economy seat for 3 hours, you'll get a workspace, a bed, Wi-Fi, a restroom, and 8 hours sleep if you want it. The second is amazing because it's coming from an Australian guy here in Sydney, and it's called Snug, which is an incredible play to get rid of deposit bonds forever. Over 90% of Australian renters get their deposit bonds back, so it's logical to free up that capital instead of keeping it to ransom. So instead, Snug protect the rental properties and landlords with an insurance bond that turns the deposit into a small monthly premium. And if you think about the examples I gave earlier in the podcast, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Freeing up people on lower income, students, and heaven forbid, those that are in bad relationships to get out of that situation because they can. It's a really, really cool thing. So we've gone through a lot over the last 9.5 minutes, but I want to leave you with some food for thought and what's been on my mind as we go over this whole space and where we're actually heading. Where I think the podcast will lead is not necessarily an answer, but something to think about in your own mind and just to sit on it and just to see if it actually could be something that you need to consider, or maybe I'm just full of shit. But this is what I want you to start to think about. We know that Airbnb is getting heat from the hotel industry and government. In Australia, they've just banned Airbnb rooms from being sold after 180 days a year, for example. We know that first movers like Nomads are already starting to investigate co-living. We know that more and more 30-year-old married couples, including myself, are opting not to have children. We know that innovators like Snug are changing how deposit bonds work. So what if you could rent from a developer or an Airbnb, pay with a credit card, and not have to worry about a deposit bond or any other utility payment? And if that was available, what would that do to investment properties and the reliance on property investment, not just only in Australia, but the rest of the world? This shakeup to property is only just the beginning. And if I'm right, it'll be a boom for renters and frightening times for investors. But only time will tell.
Thank you for tuning into the Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If so, make sure to subscribe and share the podcast with friends and colleagues.